Blog Talk Radio.
Radio Nation, you are tuned into the 411 Lounge. I am your host, LeVar Evans, and I would have to say I'm very excited to have our guest here today. If you have, I guess if you haven't been living under a rock, my guest today, basically, she's practiced in numerous areas of the law since 1988, got her degree from DePaul. She has her own law firm, Corey Fettman and Associates. She started the firm in 1995, and since that time, I would have to say, I guess I'll have to have her talk more about it. But in 2007, her firm launched the infamous billboard here in Chicago called Life Short in Divorce. The advertising campaign garnered international, national, as well as local press, and currently she writes an advice column for the Chicago Tribune Media Group, Chicago Now. I couldn't be more happier that she said yes to be here today because we've got a lot to cover. Ladies and gentlemen, the love lawyer herself, Corey Fettman. Corey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you? It's so good to be here. Thanks for asking me.
I know. I'm excited to have you
Thanks
here.
Thanks for that intro. Wow.
I would have to say out of all the people I've interviewed, I normally, I don't like to do the intro until, possible last second. I don't even write the intro. I usually go off of what normally just comes to mind. And I would have to say I'm more impressed because of, since then, I mean, even before then, your career in law, but even since then, since this billboard, it seems to have been such a whirlwind of events that's taken after it. Let's get back to, the advertising part to that. Where did that advertising campaign, come from? Was it just like an idea just to be more bold and to separate yourself from maybe, from what other law firms were doing?
I'm not your conventional lawyer, as you can tell, and I don't like conventional advertising. And I would say the ad campaign came out of desperation because business was so bad at the time. And so, I don't want an ad campaign with lawyers sitting in suits. I don't think it tells you anything about the law firm. Everybody has the same exact advertising campaign where they're sitting in their office smiling, saying, hire me. That's not who I am. And so I think an advertising campaign has to have a message that everyone remembers. That's number one, because you may not need that service at the time, and so you want people to remember you. And number two, it needs to say something about your firm. So, my firm is an aggressive firm, so my advertising campaign is going to be an aggressive advertising campaign. My firm is not judgmental, so I wanted an advertising campaign that wasn't judgmental. So you have to, I looked at it from both angles, and that's how it came about. It just, evolved.
I think that's what the genius of that is, because it was something that people hadn't seen. And I remember,
more about awareness also. The ad campaign was about awareness. I'm just saying what everybody wants to say. I mean, that's really what it's about. And so, and it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It was meant to be tongue-in-cheek. And so I don't think a lot of people who took it too seriously understood that. And I wasn't minimizing divorce in any stretch of the imagination. So, the good thing about the ad campaign was that you either loved it or you hated it. And I know that sounds wild, but that's actually a good thing.
No, it's a great thing. And, I did some more research, and I remember back, when this whole thing kind of was going on and the controversy from, other lawyers, it's not, what we would do. And it was just like so many people just like taking it just so seriously. But I was like, but the thing is that somebody needs someone to sit there to tell them straight on, hey, look, you have an option. this is what it is. It's no point in being stuck in, you know, a situation you don't want to be stuck in. And I think that's what I was more impressed by, because, you know, you have lawyers like, well, you can have this. And it's like they're kind of like beating around the bush. But you came right out and you said, hey, this, you have an option. And
I put it right between your eyes. And you know what? If you're happily married, the ad campaign wasn't going to have any effect on you. It was the people who were getting all upset about the ad campaign who obviously had some insecurity, or had, you know, it was about them. It wasn't about the ad campaign. And the best was everybody kept asking me when I was going on TV the same question, which was, aren't you causing divorces? And I just, you know, I couldn't believe the question. And it basically was an insult to the American people intelligence level to say that. You know, if that's what I'm doing, well, then my next ad campaign is going to be a, you know, huge billboard that says, give me your money. Because if I can cause that, because if I can cause you to get a divorce by a billboard, then obviously you're dumb enough to go out there and give me your money, right? I mean, that's what they're basically saying. So I could, you know, that was the questions that they were asking me. And I was like, you know what, this doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you asking me these stupid questions? But that's what, you know, every single person asked me that question.
Well,
so,
after the success of that, if you're going to go out and do a campaign for asking money, I want in on that one.
Well, that would be, you know what, and I started, like, getting to the point where I was annoyed by it, and I said, okay, well, then I guess, you know, General Motors or one of these other huge corporations is going to put, I didn't say I was, is going to put up a billboard that says, give me your money, or one of the banks, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, and they just, you know, that was the analogy. I mean, it's the same thing. There's nothing different. That's like saying that every billboard causes you to do something. If that were the case, oh, my God. You know, can you imagine?
That means I'm going to start buying ad space on that billboard.
Your Blog Talk Radio program would have, you know, 20 million people listening to you, right? Because you put up a billboard that says, listen to the 411 Lounge, right? Well,
yeah.
That's the goal, right? The goal is to get everyone on the 411 Lounge.
That's the goal. 411 Lounge or Eye on Hollywood or The Cutting Room Floor, any of our shows that we have, that's the goal, to get them there. So,
You'll be there soon, LeVar. You've got it going on.
I appreciate that. Well, if you say that, I know. And so we're doing something right here, so that's, I appreciate that. But also, and before we kind of get into what I really have you here for today, because I have another ulterior motive for having you here today, too.
Uh-oh.
And let's talk about some current issues.
You didn't tell me that.
Well, this is what, you know, I figured if we're going to have you on the show, we're going to have you here to talk. And plus, normally Fridays is Eye on Hollywood. And I was like, you know, we're going to have you here to talk about something that I'm pretty sure you love. It's something that we all love to talk about, that's celebrities and what's going on with them. And I really love
it's
your
my favorite subject.
I know, and if you have not seen Corey's articles, she actually, as I noted at the top of the broadcast, she writes articles for Chicago Now, and you can catch those at chicagonow.com/lovelawyer. Great articles, and I know you had one a few weeks ago about, and I was so shocked. I think that was where I was really shocked, was when you had one about, I was going to say Nate, I'm probably correct on that now, I'm so bad, but I was shocked. I was like, here we have a lawyer writing about, you know, a rapper, and, you know, I've never seen that before. That's one of the things I think that, you know, sticks out about you guys. Like, you know, you write the stuff that I don't think anybody expects you to write about. it makes a lot of sense.
Hey, I told you I'm not a conventional lawyer. I don't think like a conventional lawyer. You know, I'm not one-dimensional. I actually do this radio show out of Florida. It's out of Fort Myers, Florida. And it's a hip-hop rap radio. So the topics are relating to hip-hop and rap. And so I talk about celebrity relationships. And that's where that came out of, because they asked me a question, and then I was like, you know what, this is relevant to the question I'm going to write about. It's a great topic. So that's where that came from. I love you know, talking about hip-hop, rappers, you know, basketball stars, celebrities, anything to do with relationships or divorce. It's fun. There's so much material.
I think I said before, you know, without celebrities, you know, it's just, it's so much material. It makes our lives just look, you know, way, way normal.
That's why people love it. You know, that's why they love to. That's why they like reality shows, because it makes them feel better, right? I mean,
of course,
who doesn't want to watch Snooki, who's a total train wreck, right?
Oh man, you know, we talk about reality shows here every week, and you know, we talked about Teen Mom, we've talked about the Jersey Shore, you know, and we'll talk about some of the other shows, and it's amazing when I was like, there's no way, even the best script writer sometimes. Even though we know some of it's scripted, even the best scriptwriter sometimes could not make some of this stuff up. And I was like, that does not happen in my life. But I don't know.
You don't want it to happen in your life, LeVar, okay?
No. If it did, I would have to be calling you, and I'd have to be like, Corey, I think I'm going to help me.
Although maybe you would want it to happen, because look at Snooki. She's making $100,000 per episode. Okay, she would be making minimum wage, if that, right? So maybe you do want some of these things happening to you. Who knows?
I know. It's like Don King said.
It's kind of pathetic.
I know.
This woman's making six figures, and she has the IQ of a gnat. How is this possible?
It's, you know, I really kind of just threw it out the way when a couple of weeks ago I read an article that, you know, she made an appearance, and I forgot what college it was, but she had more money coming in than author Toni Morrison.
Right.
Like, you know, here is a Pulitzer Prize winning author, well-respected, and Snooki outgained a respected author. And
what advice could she possibly give anybody? How to get laid without knowing the name of the person that you're getting laid by? I mean, come on. Or maybe, you know, her hairstyle, how to have a bouffant hairstyle, and how to make it, you know, hip in 2011. I mean, what could this woman talk about?
I have no idea. I'm not even going to, like the last person I think any of us would take advice from probably would be Snooki.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about a few things, because I know, you know, as the love lawyer, I know you dish a lot of advice. Whether it would be on sometimes with impending marriages that are headed toward divorce or custody battles. And I think, one of the first ones, probably a little bit, I would say, indirectly near and dear to you, because, of course, for those of you that don't know, Corey has had a pictorial in Playboy, and in my opinion, the best pictorial, let's see, I can only go by like the last 20, 25 years, but I would say the best one, so...
But
the first one is with Hugh Hefner. Now, for those of you out there that are familiar with the story, Hugh Hefner is engaged. Hugh is now, I think he just turned 85. He is engaged to...
He's 85? I thought he was 84. No?
I think he just... Didn't he just have a birthday?
Oh, wait, he's got an April birthday. That's right. Okay.
Yeah. So he just turned 85, and he's getting married to Crystal Harris. He's almost like 60-some years his junior.
Right.
You know, why? I guess the key issue at this point, and I guess coming from you, I'm going to have you coming from your chair here. You know, why? Why would he get married now at this age? And then how could, if you're his counsel, you know, what is the best way you would tell him at this point to protect himself? Because, I mean, if we'd known Hugh hasn't had the best track record when it comes to marriages, because he's been divorced, and he just, I think, finalized the divorce from his estranged wife late last year after they had been estranged for years. And I guess, what would you tell Hugh at this point? Because there's been a lot of rumors out there about prenups, no prenups, and I think lately he did come on Twitter and say that he was going to do a prenup. Out the bat, would you tell him that's what you do, Hugh?
Well, this was my original theory that I came up with, and I haven't seen anybody else come up with this theory, but I came up with this theory. I actually should have written about it. Maybe I should have bet somebody. I originally thought that he was getting married, okay, because he was going to televise the wedding and make huge money off of it. Because think about Ryan Seacrest, right? He televised the Chloe Lamar wedding, and they made a ton of money. And who's not going to watch the wedding where you've got all these celebrities, all these playmates. I mean, come on. It would be the wedding of the century, right?
Oh, yeah.
So my original theory was he's marrying her because he wants to make money because he just bought out the company and he needs the money, in other words, a capital investment, towards because he just purchased Playboy and made it private as opposed to public. It was a public company, if people don't know. So he owes a lot of money, okay? So he's worth $43 million, or I mean, the numbers are between $43 and $51 million. But, of course, he's not, you know, yeah. You don't want to put your own money into the company. You want to use other people's money. So my original theory was they're going to do something like that, all right? But now we're almost into May. So I was thinking, okay, if you're going to televise this wedding, you would have done it by now, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so maybe he's not taking my advice, because my advice would be, you're marry this woman and then televise the wedding and make as much money as possible and sell tickets and have popcorn, okay? That would be my advice to him. But the second, you know, you're right about the rumors. I've read such, you know, they've got stuff all over the internet and you don't know which is which, but if he's twittering about it, and that's what I read too, is that, you know, he had a prenup with Kimberly Conrad, so he said, of course, he's going to have a prenuptial agreement with Crystal, and of course, he needs a prenuptial agreement. But the question is, why is he getting married? That's what doesn't make any sense to me. My whole theory is a better theory. He needs to make money off of this wedding. Short of that, I have no idea why this woman, why. I understand why she would marry him, dollar signs, but I don't understand why he would want to get married at his age. They're not going to have children. He's already told her that, and that was the reason that he broke up with Holly, so who he's with for 6 years.
Holly.
Yeah, I met her, actually, when I was doing my shoot at Playboy Studio West.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's really nice. She's really and she's a lot taller than I thought. She's
really
taller than me. And I was like, oh, my God, she's tall.
Yeah.
Not that I'm that tall, but I thought she was a lot shorter. Anyhow, yeah, and she was beautiful in person. Great skin, too. Anyhow, so I, you know, would tell him to get a prenuptial agreement, of course. You know, he had a prenup with Kimberly Conrad. Then she claimed that, you know, he didn't follow through on the terms and sued him, and he ended up settling it. We don't know what the terms of the settlement are. But then he claimed, you know, he went back and there was mudslinging and said that she had violated the agreement by having some affair outside of the prenuptial agreement. Be that as it may, there, you know, he was evicting her from the house next to the mansion. That's how this all came about. He gave her 90 days
wow.
to get out of the house, which is pretty cruel, if you ask me.
Sounds like a landlord. Well, you got about 90 days to get, or 30 days.
You've got
to get
90
out,
days,
so
honey. You had two children with me. You've got 90 days to get out. So, by the way, he said that he delayed.
Yeah.
He claims that he delayed his divorce with her because, you know, they didn't live together forever. He claims that he delayed the divorce because of his children. I don't know whether I buy that or not. I mean, I don't think it really mattered. They were living in separate households. It was as though they were in divorce. They were separated. So he probably had some great deal that, you know, it was cheaper to keep her in the prenup than it was to get rid of her. So that's my
great
guess.
Great Johnny Taylor. Great Johnny Taylor song, cheaper to keep her, yeah.
So my advice to you, televise this wedding and make millions off of it, and secondly, get a prenup.
There you go. You know, but I'm speaking on behalf of every single guy out there. I'm like, okay, if I was, you know, my age now, or, you know, I'd be like, okay, you've got girlfriends out the wazoo, you know, and you don't have to marry them and you don't have to do this. Hugh, what are you doing? But, yeah,
right, because she's not going to leave. She's
yeah.
not leaving.
That's
the thing. Where is she going to go? Who wants her? Seriously. I mean, I don't mean to sound, you know, whatever, but it's, you know, it's not like anyone's going to pick her up. Well, they will now. I mean, Holly and Kendra aren't doing too bad. But, you know, that's a different deal. He doesn't have to marry her. It's not like she's demanding that they get married. But, you know, anyone in his stature who doesn't have a prenup is an idiot. I mean, that's you know, first of all, prenup also can be written for many purposes. I mean, besides estate planning, besides protecting your assets, besides divorce, it's also in my opinion, it's a tool to see whether somebody loves you or not. It's the ultimate test, whether
sure.
somebody wants you for your money or not. Because if they can test and they say to you, no, we're not, I'm not signing this prenup, then you know what? You should have the balls to find out, and you should use the money that you were going to use for your wedding to go to Vegas. I mean, that's really the truth.
Exactly.
So,
and I want to, we've got, and time's going quickly on this show today because we've got 9 minutes, so I'm going to skip ahead to a couple of stories here. And if
we only have 9 minutes?
Yeah.
Where'd the time go?
time goes quick, but I'm going to say whatever stories that I don't get a chance to cover today, I'd love for you to come back and cover the other ones that we don't. There is another story, and I want to skip ahead here because there's one that I want to get to, and that is about former NBA star Glenn Rice.
Okay.
And for people who don't know this story, he was married to Christy Rice from The Real Housewives of Miami. They later got divorced. And until this year, we knew that he had one son, which was 21-year-old Glenn Rice Jr., who plays basketball at Georgia Tech. But he has an 8-month-old baby girl, Bella, who he had with his ex-girlfriend Tia Santoro, with whom he broke up with in the last days of March. They were living together in, down in Florida. And so I guess, and correct me if I'm wrong, in the first week of April, Tia made a 911 call and asked for help. Allegedly, she was trying to get her belongings from a restrained boyfriend's house. He wouldn't let her in, and officers came in, she hit her stuff. And I guess at that time, they had an informal agreement about Bella's shared custody. But a more formal legal one was set up for later. And recently now, Glenn has asked for a paternity test on Bella, who he believes now is not his daughter. And I guess, smart decision? Or is it just one of those things where, you know, with everything that's kind of gone down, you say, hey, Glenn, just if this is your kid, you should know this is your kid, step up. But, I mean, I guess if you're his counsel, what do you tell him? I mean, you say, hey, before you sign anything, make sure that this is your kid?
I tell every guy that I represent that they need a paternity test. What I also tell them, because we're in the state of Illinois, and it does apply in other states also, there's a form called the Voluntary Acknowledgement of Paternity Form, which the girlfriend or the mother of the child will attempt to have you sign, or the hospital will attempt to have you sign. The problem with this form, and this is invaluable information that I'm giving people, by the way, if you sign that form, it acts as a judgment. In other words, it's a judgment and it's conclusive of paternity unless you rescind it within like a few days. Okay, so in other words, it's conclusive that you are the daddy, and basically under the laws, it's virtually impossible to reverse it unless you prove fraud or duress. So even if the baby looks like you, okay, and you're caught within the moment, as most people are at the hospital, looks are deceiving, and your girlfriend could be banging six guys that look like you. So in short, I always tell people to request a DNA test to determine if the child's really theirs. I mean, smart decision ever.
Do you also tell them to go to Maury Povich as well?
Can I go on Maury too?
Yeah, if that doesn't work, you go on Maury Povich and you make sure all this stuff is read.
Awesome.
is that binding in court, Maury Povich's show? I mean, is it like if he says I'm not the father, is that binding in court?
You know what? I'm sure they have some type of rules. I don't really know how that. I really have never seen the full. Sorry, but I've never really seen a full episode of Maury's show.
Bring that up to the powers that be. You know, you should check or use that. You know, in court one day, say I'm going by the Maury show rule. If he is the father or not the father, then it stands.
Absolutely, I like that theory.
That's what we should do.
I bet they have some type
law.
Of stipulation
Maury,
or something.
Maury law.
The Maury law. Maybe you could have your own show like that.
You know what? I would. You know, I guess I have to get a sponsor. You know, somebody that's going to do this stuff for free for that. You know, but I don't know if I'll work over the phone. You know, it's like.
No, you're going to have to do a TV show, LeVar. Come on, think bigger.
Bigger.
Somebody
will have to. You know, come and get me first, and they'll be like, okay, well, fine, then we'll hire you for that. But, you know, I was pretty much going to say, it's been done.
Make it better. Put a twist on it.
There we go.
Come on.
We're gonna put like a judge on site. So you know, like as soon as we figure it out, then what's
gonna
happen?
Hey, I'll do it. Okay.
There we go. See?
There we go.
This is why I have you here today. This is why I have you here today. You know? Ideas.
What was the ulterior motive? I missed that.
You know what, on that question, because we've only got a couple minutes left, but I want to make sure, I've got this question, and it's off cuff, but is it true, and I guess I've heard of so many stories, and I can't tell you, where guys will sign these, you know, the birth certificate when the kid's born, and then maybe a year or two later, something comes out, they're not the father, but they, you know, if something is going on where they are paying child support or of this nature, is there any recourse a guy could take? Now, I'm hurt, no.
Well, first of all, there's no such thing as, quote-unquote, signing the birth certificate. That's a fallacy.
Okay.
So
I'll get that out of the way.
And so a lot of people will come in here and tell me that, and I'm like, no. You either sign this acknowledgement of paternity form or, you know, there's no such thing as signing the birth. Maybe they put his name on the birth certificate, but there's no such thing as signing it, okay, at least not in Illinois. So you have to find out whether this person signed what I said is the acknowledgement of paternity or not. So there is recourse if the father's name is on the birth certificate. But if you've signed this acknowledgement, it's a judgment, and you have to prove fraud or duress. Or you can rescind it within a few days. That's your only recourse. It's very, very difficult to do. So, you know, if your name's on the birth certificate, no problem. If you're not the daddy, then request a DNA test. If you've been paying support, but you haven't acknowledged in court, or you haven't signed any documents, or you haven't done anything, you need to ask for a DNA test.
There we go. So smart words of advice. You know,
absolutely.
We've got 2 minutes to go, and I've got so many different stories I want to talk about. You
well,
know,
pick the best one. We can stay long.
I'm sure we can get to it in 2 minutes, because I want to get through all of your websites.
Pick a good one. Come on. We need
okay,
to talk about the royal wedding, okay?
Want to go royal wedding coming up next week. Prenup.
Yeah.
And I guess the laws in the UK, I know they differ from here to there.
Huge differences. Huge differences. This is what I've written about this, actually, when I did my advice column, which is still up on Playboy.com. It's the Lawyer Love column. And I wrote about this when I wrote about the McCartney-Heather Mills case, okay, and also Madonna's case with Guy Ritchie. Here's the difference with the laws in England. First of all, when they divide up assets, it's based on fairness, which means, okay, who does the judge like that day, right? There's no such thing as quote-unquote fairness, right? And then secondly, in England, you can have non-marital property. In other words, property that was yours prior to the marriage. And here it would retain its character of being non-marital property, and you could keep it. In England, they don't do that. They consider all of the assets, even if it was earned outside of the marriage and it was acquired prior to the marriage. So what happened in the Paul McCartney case, they considered his lifetime estate. Even prior to the time that he married Heather Mills, they looked at the entire estate and gave her a portion of the estate. So it's very unfair. They also are not, even if you have a prenuptial agreement in England, they don't necessarily uphold it. So while I would tell the royals that they need a prenuptial agreement, they do not necessarily, the judge does not necessarily have to uphold that agreement. Now, probably they're going to do so because of who they are, and I would recommend that they do get a prenuptial agreement. But what people also don't know about Kate, just, and this is a tad of trivia here, she, when they broke up, because they have had problems before, and that's all the more reason that they should have a prenuptial agreement. When they broke up, though, 3 years ago, she was offered basically $10 million, and or she could really name her own price, from various publications for the story.
We got about 20 seconds, too, Corey.
Okay. Okay. So anyhow, that's the deal. I think they should have a prenup, and that's where it's going.
Well, Corey, thanks so much for coming on today. We'd love to have you back here. We got to make a date to come back here another time because there's so much to talk about. So we'll have the links to all of Corey's pages on our website. Check her out. Tori, thanks so much for coming on today.
Thanks for having me. It was great. Have a wonderful weekend. Happy Easter.
And happy Easter to everyone. So thanks you so much, Corey. We're going to try and get her back here next time. Until next time we meet, because I think I've just got the proverbial plug almost pulled from me here. So thank you for joining us on the 401 Lounge. We'll see you next time.
Take care.